Hello, welcome, and thanks for listening to Carbon Climates, an energy podcast dedicated to discussing all things energy, carbon, and sustainability. We also like to talk about what's getting hot, besides from our planet. I'm your host, Anya, and today I'm joined by my Carbon Climate and co-host, Gareth. Hi, Gareth.
Hello.
Hi.
How's it going?
Yeah, it's going well. What about you?
Very well.
So Gareth, recording. Just giving your full name in case people want to look
there's
you
no
up.
Middle name.
Yeah, there's no middle name. So you are a mechanical building services engineer.
Yeah.
In Belfast. Right about Belfast. Yeah, Belfast.
It is Belfast.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, okay.
It is Belfast.
That is me. That is me correcting. But yeah. So we're gonna be talking about your job this week and just kind of what got you to this level. So first question, which I ask all my guests, how's your week been? And can you tell us a bit more about yourself?
How's my week been professionally?
Personally? Like,
or personally.
What's going on? Like?
Personally, on the garden, flat out.
Mm-hmm.
Early to mid-30s now, so I just love being in the garden. That's just our thing now.
Yeah.
In reality, it's actually just because we're having people around for the house soon for my son's birthday.
Very good.
And we had a 20 meters cubed pond mm-hmm. it's filled.
Wow.
So that, yeah. I know it was meant for us. I don't know why we had this pond beforehand. We didn't put it in.
Okay.
But yeah, serious amount of rubble has went into that and
mm-hmm.
all done now.
Yep.
All fine. And actually it was a shout out Whitehead Facebook groups that have helped me fill it. Like I had to spend very little money doing it and
yeah.
stuff. But that's the main thing, actually. I think we've been doing that for weeks. So, yeah.
Very good. Yeah. Well, okay. So you definitely, it's perfect for the summer, coming into it.
It was very useful. Well, yeah. It'll be nice to make it safe for you kids running about now, because we're please don't fall into the pond. But yeah, it's something we needed to do since we moved in 4 years ago. But yeah, that's the main thing, to be honest.
Okay, very good, very interesting. And your job title, I've just said it, but you can introduce it if you want.
Mechanical engineer, mechanical building services engineer.
Mm-hmm. You answer to all names.
MEP engineer. Yeah, HVAC engineer, whatever you, yeah.
Yeah.
And professional bluffer.
Professional bluffer. Yeah. That's good. I'll message Mike, you need to add this title to his name. Okay. Yeah.
Professional buffer,
BNG with honors, of course.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And see, when you were at Still, did you ever envisage yourself in this sector?
Absolutely not. Engineering for squares, and I would never have wanted to do this.
Wow.
Teenage me would have said. I always thought I was going to do something musical.
Mm-hmm.
Had looked at doing music in Cardiff University, and all the careers people in school told me to do this. Physics teacher told me I should just join the army because I just was terrible at physics
mm-hmm.
at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm obviously amazing at physics now, and that's why I'm able to do this.
Is that backed up? Have you got someone to?
I don't know.
Yeah,
Scouts honor or something. I don't know. It's school was non-stop crack.
Mm-hmm.
Primary school, I loved learning.
Mm-hmm.
And then secondary school, I was just like, why am I here? I hate this. I hate this so much. I don't like it. I don't enjoy it. I don't know if you went to a grammar school or anything, but they're very set up of you're going to go here and you're going to do medicine, civil engineering, law.
I know exactly what
you're
talking
about. If you don't fit within those, it's even be here. So yeah, I went when I was in hardcore emo phase.
Mm-hmm.
It's I'll just do music and stuff, and little did I know 10, 15, however many years later I would become a special PA society. So here I am, office work.
Wow.
Still angsty.
Yeah.
Still angsty, still listen to it. Still mm-hmm. fine. Still mm-hmm. constantly MCR.
Were you ever at that? What's it called? The emo or the showdown, not the showdown, is the emo festival or?
No, because ironically, I hate live music.
Okay.
I love listening to live music. I like it. If I'm the one performing, great, fine.
Yeah.
Whatever.
That is my Saturday night.
Unlocks the tism, and I'm just like, no.
But no. Oh, yeah, here. Oh, yeah, Center, Pavilion.
Oh, yeah, I lived in Limelight.
Limelight, yeah.
Lived in Limelight, love that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it was the Katie's Bar in Limelight, wasn't it?
It was spring and air break at the time.
Okay.
We're back. Best gig I've ever been to is in spring and air break.
Okay. Very good. You got a lot there. I realized now when I asked that last question, I skipped a question. So the fourth question, which might be the third question, how long have you been in this sector?
2016, I think, was whenever I started.
Mm-hmm.
Started in 2016. I think I had, well, I've said the off mic. I did a BIM course, like a level 4 OCR BIM course.
Yeah.
And it was just by sheer chance that I did it. Never had any interest in doing it. I'd say always wanted to do music, did performing arts in school. Always thought it was going to be something media driven. Decided I had a face more for radio, so went into IT stuff. Did Windows courses, all that there. And just never, kind of just didn't know what I wanted to do at all.
Yeah.
And totally just fell into this then because my father-in-law, who works at RPS, he was like, oh, kind of like IT stuff then. I think 2016 was whenever BIM level 2 was compulsory for like government level jobs.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, there's this thing coming in. I mean, Revit and everything's been going since like 2012, but it's taken off. It's compulsory. There will be a niche in the industry for this. Maybe you should try it. You know, so it's the way, you know, you would tell a graduate, learn AutoCAD.
Yeah.
You could go anywhere. You'll get a foot in the door, whatever. I did a course. I think it was actually, we got like money back on our mortgage or something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you sign up for deals and £500 or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And so we had just moved into our first home in 2015 then, got that money for that. And I was like, there's nothing we want or need. Put into this. Invest for the future.
Mm-hmm.
Courses like £700 or whatever at Belfast Met. I ran from like June to February to June. And it was just like a Monday night.
Mm-hmm.
I think they still run up, but they bumped it down to level 3.
Okay.
And did that for however many months that was. Literally then got offered my first job in the industry in the September. Went for my first interview. Company AIS, they're consultants now, but they're very much in their infancy then.
Mm-hmm.
And they were kind of just primarily sort of BIM draft work. And I'd say it was when it was all just getting going. So they hadn't really established themselves like, come to us, contractors, we'll do all of your 3D, whatever. And it's nothing like what they're producing now, but it was really good for the time.
Yeah.
And it was a great sort of learning experience with them. And they put me in their foundation degree then as well. So I think I kind of came on with them under like a higher level apprenticeship. And maybe like jumping around here, going into other questions you have, but this is the journey. So did a higher level apprenticeship with them, and it was, you know, it's the 2-year course and whatever. That then would track you to the ArcEng, Ulster University that I moved on to. And yeah, came to Caldwell's, worked at Caldwell's for 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
Moved on to Tate.
Here. You worked at Caldwell's, you got to meet amazing people here.
Met the amazing sustainability team.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah,
sustainability squad.
That's our official title, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, no, 2016. It's crazy to think, like, yeah, it's nearly 10 years, kind of. So
wow,
mental.
I know. Like, I don't like thinking like that because I'm like, oh no, but I'm only 24. Like, you know, so how could that be possible?
Oh yeah, well, I mean, looking at whenever I first started. To what my life is now, it's just great. Personally, it's crazy.
Well, that's great. Thank you for explaining about your life. You have ruined future question sections for me.
Spoilers.
But, but it's fine. I will improv, okay? Don't worry. But yeah, okay.
Full context.
Yeah, yeah. So just like probably guess today's topic focused around your role, mechanical building services engineer. Mm-hmm. So just to give a bit of a recap, some mechanical building service engineers ensure the mechanical systems in the building work efficiently, effectively, and are designed efficiently and effectively. Mm-hmm. So building service engineers, they're pretty much that group that they design and fit the heating, lighting, and power systems in like any typical building, office, mm-hmm. residential, student accommodation. Like, I'm in the sector, I'm actually trying to think about the building types. I'm like, what is retail?
And this is why they had to rebrand mm-hmm. the degree course from building services and renewables to architectural engineering. They had to catfish people into doing the course.
Yeah.
Basically, and say, it's to do with architecture. And they'll say that it's because it should be alongside the architecture. Mm-hmm. But it's because people don't know what building services are.
Yeah.
My first interview, I got asked, do you know what building services are? And I didn't. Per interview prep, probably should have known. Got the job.
What, like a concierge service or something like that?
I didn't ever know. Like, you know.
It's the term.
How would you know?
Yeah, it's the terminology used. It is the terminology. Like, probably like if you simplify it to people and be like, here, like, how you control the temp.
My parents still don't know. I do for years, they thought I do quantity surveying. you go to site as well. And they've just snipped out the eyes that you go to work and survey go to sites and survey the work. And they went, oh, we know that.
Yeah.
Like my two brothers are sort of in trades. One is a spark and one sort of started out as a brickie, but does mm-hmm. everything else.
For people who aren't familiar with the 3D terms.
Sorry. Yes.
Okay, so spark.
Spark being an electrician.
Okay, and then.
Foley's good, I don't know.
And then I'm going to tag him in this.
I'll be putting my shot on him. Okay.
And then a bricklayer?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
He put doors in for me.
Very good. You've got all the connections.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, well, brilliant. So, having a bit about your job title. So, before we jump into this even further, I've got a joke for you. Already you're laughing.
My life.
Yeah. Do you need to have a talk after this? Like, are you okay?
No, I'm good from Europe. Are you okay?
It is engineers in the joke. Okay. But it is kind of, you said you were good at chemistry and physics or like,
no,
you're...
I said I was terrible.
Oh no, hold on. You said you're good at physics now. Okay.
Yeah.
Hold on. Let's find that back. Okay. Cut that out. Okay. So why did the energy engineer break in to the Tower of London?
Go on.
To steal all the jewels. Like,
do you make these up yourself?
No, that was Google. Okay.
Didn't mind that.
Yeah. I could have claimed it.
Didn't mind that.
But yeah. Yeah. So you're welcome. You could keep that. Tell that to your friends.
LinkedIn bio.
Yeah. Okay. So you are going to go with the title Mechanical Building Services Engineer. What do you love most about your job?
Yeah, I think why I do like it is, whilst I said I wasn't great at the time of like physics and chemistry, I have always been interested in science.
Yeah.
And really enjoy science. More so biology, natural sciences, paleontology, all that there.
Mm-hmm. Paleontology.
Love it. Zoology.
Zoology.
Shout out.
What was it called? Crypto?
Zoology. Like, yeah, love all that. Like, love, just love science. I am interested in it. Clearly, there was just an error in the way I was taught at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a good mix in this industry of, you know, scientific theory type stuff. And, you know, if you like that, you can do the calculations and design work and all that there.
Mm-hmm.
But there's sort of practical elements as well. Maybe not you necessarily being hands-on, but like, you know, you get to go to the site, you get to see how things go.
Yeah.
A lot of people when they are doing design, they struggle conceptually and like spatially seeing things in their mind. when you, like, especially if you send like a graduate or something
mm-hmm.
to a site as it's progressing, like, you straight away know, okay, well, that you can do this, you can do that, but you should be snagging this, and oh, that's how the pump set goes in, and this is the orientation of the valve, and mm-hmm. you know, whatever it is. Equally, if you're not interested in that, you know, you can sit at a desk and you can do 3D modeling,
yeah,
or something like that. You know, it is diverse, or you could dip into even sort of what you do from mm-hmm. a sustainability point of view as well.
Yeah, it's gonna save the world, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
But yeah,
can you make it work without MEP engineers? That's the thing.
You mean we need to collaborate?
Oh my goodness.
Well, like this thing I was telling you about, that you were saying about architectural engineering at Ulster. Mm-hmm. I was telling you the degree I did, which no longer exists anymore, clean technology, they amalgamated with building services yep. and made it architectural engineering. So in a way, you're welcome. Okay. And nothing to do with it being renamed, but yeah. You know, like, I hope you enjoy it.
Yeah, great 6 years.
Okay, brilliant. Well, see, for your role, I know you've already talked about the courses and degrees you've done, but you mentioned there about going to site. What sort of training or prep would you recommend for entering any kind of role in this sector?
Training for it? Because there's like lots of different ways you can come into it. So I went down the higher level apprenticeship route. People could go to, you know, they could go in at 18 and do the ArchEng course. 4 years later, they could, might as a graduate and do this. You could be on the tools being working a trade.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm not jargoning you again. you know, you could be, yeah, and you could be like, oh, well, you know, I want to get off the site and transition into this and whatever. So there's a few different ways you can get into it. And with each of those ways, there's pros and cons in terms of, you know, if you've come off the tools, you've got a lot of site experience, you know how things go in. Like what I said before, it's handy to see that.
Mm-hmm.
And you're maybe just then having to back that up from a technical point of view or something. Graduates, you know, they're going to be very green. They're not going to know well, next to anything, really. You know, maybe they've done a placement, but it's not quite one-to-one.
Yeah.
I think the doing a part-time, the way I've sort of stumbled into it is very good. And it benefited uni as well. Because mm-hmm. I can take experience, like so many, what do you call it? Coursework. So many pieces of coursework I was doing, and you can literally be like, in my experience as a mechanical engineer, I would recommend this, and and they love it. They're just like, oh, yeah, great.
Yeah, you are your own reference.
All the time, yeah, self-plagiarized constantly. but no, it's handy to be able to draw on that, and it goes both ways then, because even if you're in uni and you're like, oh, well, I'm doing such and such a module. Obviously, you do HVAC modules and sustainability modules, and it's all broken up and whatever. But if you're say something like the electrical module, where I'm not an electrical engineer, I'm going to have very, very base level knowledge of it.
Mm-hmm.
I can come in here or wherever place of work, and you can ask who you're working with. How do I do this? What is this sensible? Is what I'm doing right? Whatever it is. So I think it is really good kind of learn as you learn, like that kind of thing.
He always say this. Yeah. Oh my goodness, this has been in all the episodes. Like, they're probably not.
Recommend it. Like, yeah, I know that certainly where I am now, we would love to get some more higher level apprentices, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not necessarily. I don't know if it's school leavers at 16.
Yeah,
certainly maybe people 18 even.
It's
uni kind of thing, before they go to uni or whatever.
Like, I just find it so impressive. Like, it would be. So you get an apprentice at that age, 16, 18, whatever age they decide, and you work up, put them through the part-time degree. So you go to uni one day a week, you're working the rest.
Yeah.
And then see, by the time they're 24, they are fully qualified. They've got their degree. And
my course as well now is an integrated MEng.
Yeah.
So they would do it for 5 years, and then, you know, there's the master's out of the way as well.
By that time, they've worked in the industry for 6 years. They know how to talk at meetings. Yeah. They know what to ask for.
Yeah.
And it's that confidence that they build up. And it's like, here, and you could be at that at such a young age. And then, yeah, so it's just like advertising that to people, being like, this is what you...
Oh, someone at 20, you'd be 23-ish when you leave uni, or 24 or whatever, if they do the image, someone coming out with that has done it as an apprenticeship,
mm-hmm.
in my mind is going to have a lot more value than someone who's just went uni the whole time.
Because
mm-hmm. although they try and teach you sort of transferable skills in terms of doing presentations and all that, to like lecture theatres and everything, I'm sort of trying to prepare you for that and preparing reports, obviously, and everything else. You just actually can't beat being in the office and doing it. Like it's just the best way to, in my mind, to do it.
No, completely agree. Yeah. I've asked this to a number of people. What's your favorite guide to read up on in your work?
What is my favorite guide to read up on?
Like, you know, like the Sipsy guides or stuff like that.
Yeah.
Or you've got like maybe a mechanical guide, ventilation.
I did see that you had asked that and I thought that was quite odd. Like, do people have favorite guides? Not to rip apart the podcast. I think because a lot of time you obviously have a base level of ones. There's ones that you refer to all the time, like BS12, 5-6, for like your drainage.
Okay.
And you're referring to them quite a lot. And a lot of that does then get in your head and whatever. But there's other ones, like, you know, it's just like, sort of amalgamated all the main Sipsy guide B, if that's inflation.
Yeah.
No one can possibly know everything that then was. You can't just study guides and you sort of use the guide as you go job to job and things will be retained. But again, it's more that like if you have that on the job experience and it's knowing how to navigate the guides and knowing what to look for within the guides and how to maximize the use of the guides.
Yeah.
Big one at the minute though, so CCP1, I suppose, for like for keeping them.
Oh yes, I've seen that about. I haven't read it, but
if I have to shout out one,
okay,
that's the most recent one I've read.
Gareth, so. That's all I was looking for. Okay, I'll tag that guide and be like Gareth's super guide. Hey, brilliant. Well, thank you for answering the question about the training prep for your role. Now, before we move on to the next question,
mm-hmm.
I have a question for you. We're going to enter this round that I kind of tailored towards all the guests. And I'm going to ask you two questions, okay? And it's going to be a fun round, okay? And I said in your sheet of prep, no prep at all needed. There probably was some prep because I'm like, I don't think I would have known this. But we'll see.
Yeah.
I'm going to try and think of a snazzy name right off the cuff. But yeah, I'm going to look at your previous history. I can, you can, you can.
What?
You know, the first, you know, it's like the first six letters of mechanical, me can. So it's like, I can, me can, you can. If me can, you can.
Okay.
So
we can fix it in post, it's fine.
Get instantly cancelled. So if you can, no, hold on. What was I again? If me can, you can. Because it is kind of mechanical for the Look, in my head, this is a genius. Like, I'm like, wow, you're breaking all the barriers.
What class, young?
Okay. So, question is,
mm-hmm.
who invented mechanical engineering?
Who invented mechanical engineering?
There is a name. There's a name listed on Google.
See, this is probably unfair because you're probably talking like straight mechanical engineering as in like manufacturing engineering. It's like something to do with like the Industrial Revolution or something.
Well, you'd be right. You'd be correct in that, yes. Yeah.
Which is not what I do.
Wow, okay. So we're pleading the fifth.
I just have Watt in my head that I couldn't be right.
Really? Is it? Do you have a second name? No, do you have a first name?
I don't know, James or something.
That's it! That's James Watt! It's James Watt! He is noted as the father of mechanical engineering. And he is... See this thing, you know.
Shout out. I know a little about a lot.
Yeah, okay. But so
it's unreal.
So well done. Like, so James Watt, there's a misconception around him. People think he's famous for inventing the steam engine, which is the first kind of mechanical engineering, but he actually wasn't, because the steam engine was around his time. Like, you know, but he invented lots of different types of steam engine, which was then used later in the Industrial Revolution. And so he just kind of became famous for it. Like, you know,
Carnot cycle.
Yeah, he jumped on a trend and yeah, followed it. Okay, well done. First question, you win a point. Okay. Yeah, okay, so I've got I've got a second question, which is more local. Okay.
Yeah.
So you said you have experience in all these MEP consultancies. MEP standing for Mechanical, Electrical and Plumbing Consultancies.
Okay. Yes.
How many MEP consultancies are there in Northern Ireland?
Oh, wait, well. You feel just consultancies, not like contractors.
Oh, we'll see. Forgot what I typed into Google. Like, you know, came up on Google Maps, all the...
Yeah, undoubtedly gave you contractors as well. Just Northern Ireland?
Yeah, just Northern Ireland. There was some on the brink. Like, there was some on the border, so I don't know whether they followed up.
I'm going to say there are 263.
You know what? You're actually pretty close. Okay.
No, I'm not.
There's 76. Okay. Yeah.
Six.
Yeah. So, yeah, according to Google.
That's a lot less than I would have thought.
So, I'm going to name them all now. Okay.
Thanks,
yeah. No, yeah. I can't do that. It's me listing things. Unless that's a podcast in itself. Like, you know, that could be...
Listcast?
Yeah. Such a good name. Listcast. Yeah. That's the title of this episode now.
Listcast.
Okay. Anyway, we're moving on. Okay. So, talking about the buildings. Mm-hmm. Okay. Building engineer.
Yeah.
Can you give an overview of the type of projects you've worked on? Any highs and lows?
High rises and low rises.
Very good.
Diverse.
Very good.
I genuinely have I do mostly lower rise stuff. At the minute, or tail end of last year, did a sort of 9-floor co-living building. It's basically like, I think co-living is this new kind of way that they're doing things in London. It is more or less, it's not quite like a build-to-rent thing. The apartments are kind of like studio style, or they're not even really apartments, they're like a student accommodation studio in terms of size and things. Mm-hmm. It's all very about like bringing the community together. It's all, you know, big amenity spaces, or like co-working spaces, co-cooking spaces, like big open kitchen, MasterChef kitchen things. I think that is actually the term they use. Yeah, it's only like 200 beds and it was like 9 floors, so it's fairly low rise. Smaller, I think it's 5-story hotels, refurbishments in Earl's Court. We've done a few of those, just like 2 terrace houses together kind of thing.
Nice.
That's its own challenges. There's only so much you can chop and change. Like, they're not listed buildings by any means, but because they've been worked on over and over and over again, they just put like ceiling on ceiling, so like the ceiling makeup is crazy, and then you remove that, you've got a massive void, and there's fire considerations and everything else. And then most recently, I'm on a 737 room, like purpose built student accommodation in Manchester. So that's our newest one that we're working on. It's 2 blocks. One's like 8 stories and the other's 23 stories.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all, yeah, I mean, everything is like air source heat pump. It's renewables all over the show. And yeah.
Okay.
That seems to be the way it's all going, obviously, to fit in with things like London Plan and...
I know the London Plan.
Yeah.
I'm familiar with it.
Well, that was the first I had ever had that one at the end of last year, and just making sure then that we're meeting the requirements of that, you know, and not suggesting something like we put VRF cooling in the rooms.
Mm-hmm.
So to kind of get around the TM59 requirements. And I think we could open the windows because it was noisy as well. So
acoustic restrictions, yeah.
I had to use MVHR units and then put the VRF in as well. rather than relying on like mechanical extract ventilation and trickle vents and open windows for purge and so on. So you're doing a deep dive into the London plan to be like, okay, well, have we exhausted every other type of cooling or preventing of overheating that we can? Yes, okay, right. Well, now VRF can go in and making sure that it's a reasonable refrigerant and so on, rather than...
Yeah, because there's some refrigerants which they won't allow. Like the planners are just like, absolutely not.
So you probably know more than me, but...
I definitely do. But anyway.
I don't doubt it.
Wow. We're going to end this on a fight. No. Yeah. Okay, brilliant. Well, thank you for giving like about your history and just like all the different buildings you've worked on. A very extensive list. You obviously know your knowledge. No. You know your stuff. I'm going to cut that.
Know your knowledge.
You know your stuff. You know your mechanic. You know your mechanics. Yeah. You know your mechanics. That's it. We can't, like, you know, just like James Watt did.
Just like James Watt. Yeah. I clearly know very well.
I'm really impressed by that still. Like, that is.
Well.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for being on the podcast. You've been an absolute pleasure to have. Like,
hopefully fluffed my way through it. Okay.
Yeah. Hopefully you'll be back on again.
Not too many edits.
Wow. We're gonna keep this when you're back on, okay? Not just me tell the jokes, okay? Like, you know, I'm the funny one.
Permanent co-host.
So before you go, do you have any advice for future prospective engineers looking to get into this sector?
Yes.
Okay.
Strangely. So at the start I had said how I kind of fell into this, and I think, to be honest, there are a lot of people don't know what building services is. A lot of people do sort of just stumble into it and fall into it, whatever. I came in a bit later when I was probably more switched on and open to listening and things, and I'd say as a kid I would never have wanted to be told what to do, and the education system I was currently in didn't work. Then make the most of every opportunity that you're given within it. You can come in with very little knowledge and rapidly build it up and become very useful.
Yeah.
You know, you could come in with nothing, and within your first week, you could, you know, do some basic, you know, ductwork sizing, pipework sizing, knowing what sort of parameters to stay within. You could do drainage design probably within your first fortnight. You know, if you just come in and you could do like calculations and things, you know, there's a few like basic formula that you could, if you can wrap your head around those, then you can do like 90% of, you know, calculations. So if you just come in and you're open to listening and you take every opportunity, and I know you're big on going to like external training things and going to seminars and all that there, and, you know, doing a full LinkedIn takeover.
Yeah.
You can do very well, like personally, professionally, financially, even as well. You know, you're generally fairly well compensated if you make your right moves within your sector. If you want big, big money, go into contract and don't do consulting.
Whoa. this is an expose.
TMD. Every consultant says that is just fact. That is what it is. That's the thing. You can come into this and you can be office based, you can be site based, you can do hybrid work, and it is a good, like, I do 2 days a week from home. It benefits me and my family. You get a wee bit of travel, not too much. Obviously, depends company to company, but like employer, we do work all around the world. So like there's, you know, and work with other people and understand how they do things there as well, which is always interesting to know. And is there anything you can take from that? So it probably is just grabbing every opportunity that kind of like say yes to most things. Like, say when you get approached to do a podcast, say yes.
Yeah.
And just put yourself out there and be like, oh, surely someone will listen.
Yeah. I like that. Surely someone will listen. Like, there's always bits in these episodes I'm like, yeah, that's going to be the soundbite for this. Like, you know, when people can preview the episode, they're like,
put it on a t-shirt.
Yeah. But yeah, well, that was a very insightful wrap up. A lot more inspirational than mine, I'm not going to lie. was just going to be like, be the architect of your own future. As we talked about architectural engineering, I thought it was a good tie-in. Like,
why not?
Yeah, why not? Exactly. But yeah, well, Gareth, thanks again for coming on, and hopefully you'll definitely be back.
Yeah.
There was some hesitancy there, and I do not appreciate it, okay?
Yeah. Well, I'm just thinking season two or season three, I don't know. Do you leave it on a cliffhanger? Or
We'll see how far I'm able to get. Like, you know.
When it makes its way to Netflix, then I'm interested.
Yeah, okay. You get to play yourself. Like.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Now Michael Fassbender.
Thanks for listening to Carbon Climates. If you follow us on Instagram at @carbon_climates, you can keep up to date with all our latest news, episode releases, and any exciting stuff we have to say. Okay, thanks for listening. Bye. Do you want to say bye?
Bye.